Only mode.
ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. ఫ్రమ్ టుడే వి విల్ టేక్ అప్ ఎ టెక్స్ట్ కాల్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం, కంపోజ్డ్ బై ఆదిశంకరాచార్య. And before I would talk about this subject, I would like to offer my Sashtanga Namaskarams at the lotus feet of the Jagadguru Sri Sri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Sri Sharada Peetham Sringeri and to the writings and discourses of Sri Kanchi Paramacharya, Sri Dayananda Saraswati, Sri Chinmayananda and Swami Paramarthananda, without whose discourses and writings I would not have been able to present this series of webinars. Dakshinamurti is an aspect of Lord Shiva as the Adi Brahma Vidya Guru. Actually, in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, Hayagriva is looked upon also as the Brahma Vidya Guru, as an aspect of Lord Vishnu. And there is another name for Dakshinamurti also, which is Sadashivaha. In addition to Brahma Vidya Guru, also known as Sadashivaha. And that is why we have these two popular verses, one which says, Sadashiva Samarambham, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. It starts with Sadashiva Samarambham. That means Dakshinamurti Samarambham, the Brahma Vidya teaching which originated from Lord Dakshinamurti as the Adi Guru, and a parampara in which Adi Shankaracharya played a very important role and so kept in the middle as Shankaracharya Madhyamam. And what is the end of that parampara? Asmadacharya Paryantam, up to my guru. And for example, if I begin to teach, then the parampara comes up to me. And if my Sishya, if he teaches this, then it goes up to that person also. So as far as I am concerned, the parampara ends with my guru. And so Asmadacharya Paryantam. Vande Guru Paramparam, I do prostrations to all those acharyas for the entire parampara. So Sadashiva or Dakshinamurti is the original teacher of Brahma Vidya. And we have a parallel shloka in the Vaishnava Sampradaya also, which says, Jnanaanandamayam Devam Nirmalaspatikakritim Adharam Sarva Vidyanam Hayagrivam Upasmahe. This also conveys the same idea, wherein Hayagriva is the initiator of this Guru Parampara tradition. And Dakshinamurti, as an aspect of Shiva, performs almost the same function as Shiva. Shiva is Layakarta among the Trinity. Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shiva is the Layakarta, the one who resolves this universe. But when Shiva resolves the Dvaita Prapancha, the destruction is not the ultimate destruction, but only a partial destruction. Because during Pralaya, the duality goes only to the unmanifest condition, the potent condition, the dormant condition. Duality very much remains, samsara also remains. Because again Brahmaji comes out and creates again duality, with that all problems also come back again. So Lord is responsible for apekshika destruction, because in that everything else is destroyed except one important thing, the primary culprit, namely ajnana. That is not destroyed even during pralaya. For example, in sleep, we resolve the duality, but ajnanam, the ignorance, we do not destroy. In death, we destroy the duality, but still ajnanam is not destroyed. In pralaya, the whole world is resolved, but ajnanam still survives. So the resolution of samsara and duality is complete only when ajnanam also is destroyed, when ajnanam also goes away. And that ajnanam destruction job, destroying dvaita permanently, is done by Lord Shiva as Dakshinamurti. And when he destroys this dvaita prapancha and ajnanam, advaitam brahma is established, not temporarily but permanently. Advaitam was, advaitam is, and advaitam ever will be. And so Dakshinamurti is more auspicious, as it were, because he brings about this adyantika dvaita nashaha through ajnana nashaha. And how can Dakshinamurti destroy ignorance? For that matter, anyone can destroy any ignorance only by one method, and which is by providing knowledge. So jnanadvara alone, ignorance can be removed. And how do you provide jnanam? Can we, for example, distribute jnanam as we distribute prasada in the temples? Is it possible at all? Knowledge is not a physically handleable substance to be distributed. Not even by connecting a wire or tape to tape, we can core dump from one computer to another computer. But knowledge from between two heads cannot be dumped by any such means at all. There is no such method of transferring knowledge from one head to another. And there is only one method. The invisible knowledge has to be converted to audible words of communication. The invisible vritti rupa jnanam, vritti means thoughts, vritti rupa jnanam should be converted to shabda rupa upadeshaha. It should become an upadesha in the form of words. Like, for example, in radio stations, the forms and sounds are converted into radio waves and they are then transmitted. And every radio set is receiving, is actually a receiving station, which should reconvert the waveforms to audible forms of sound. Similarly, my head has some ideas which I want to transmit to you. For example, I have only one method. I have to convert vritti rupa jnanam into shabda rupa jnanam. Unfortunately, the shabda rupa upadeshaha can travel and it can reach your ears and it can reach your brain, and the brain receives the sounds only, but you have to convert the sound waves into ideas. And this reconversion requires education or training on the part of the receiver also. In fact, the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti itself is only a training in converting the upadesha vakyam into brahma vidya. I am assuming that the people who listen to these lectures know all these words when I say sadhana chatushtaya sampatti and all, because we just now finished the Tattva Bodha lectures where we have described all these words in great detail. Now imagine a person having a wonderful ears. The person can hear all the sounds but does not know English language. He has good ear, he can hear, but he does not know English language. Sound will enter the brain and will continue to remain as sound only. It will not be converted into wisdom because he doesn't know the language. This method of transmission is the only method available in most of the knowledge transmission. Learn in the school or a college through upadesha transmission only. There also physical upadesha, chemical upadesha, all those things, they all take place. And the general method of transmission is through teaching only. Here also we have a teaching tradition, the original communicator being Lord Dakshinamurti himself. And since this upadesha is capable of liberating me from duality and the duality bond samsara, Brahma Vidya Guru becomes more auspicious to me, unlike all other Laukika Gurus. The other sciences can destroy ignorance, but not my samsara. For example, chemistry learning may destroy my ignorance about chemistry, but not samsara. Therefore, samsara destroying wisdom is very important, and the teacher of that wisdom is more important, and the original teacher, of this wisdom is the most important one for me if I have to cross the samsara. So the teaching is sacred, the guru is more sacred, and the original guru, Sri Dakshinamurti, is the most sacred for me. And so every Vedantic student is indebted to Lord Dakshinamurti or Lord Hayagriva. That Brahma Vidyam and the Adi Upadesha Karta both are sacred. And appreciating this glory, Adi Shankaracharya, he wrote 10 verses on the glorification of the Brahma Vidya Guru. The word Stotram, Dakshinamurti Stotram, Stotram means glorification or acknowledgement of our gratitude. And Dakshinamurti is the name of that deity for whom we are grateful. And why is this deity, that is Adi Brahma Vidya Guru, is called Dakshinamurti? We have to also perhaps understand the word Dakshinamurti. The Dakshinamurti, the word, has got two meanings. First one, the word Murti means the form or the personality, the Vigraha perhaps. And the word Dakshin means facing the southern direction. So Dakshina is an actually indeclinable word in Sanskrit. In fact, this word has two meanings. One is, it can be used in the context of Guru Dakshina, offering or compensation, which is a declinable word. Dakshina, Dakshine, Dakshinaha. So it is declinable. But Dakshina, Dakshin as an indeclinable word has the meaning of facing the southern direction. And so Dakshinamurti means that deity who faces the southern direction. And for example, from that word, we come to know that all the other deities are facing the non-southern direction. Of course, some Navagrahas face southern direction, but all others don't. So either they face east or west or north direction, most of them face any direction other than south only. Only Dakshinamurti is the unique deity who faces southern direction. Okay, what is the significance of facing south? That also we need to understand. According to our Shastras, southern direction represents the direction of Yama, Yamadharma Raja. Every direction has got a deity. For example, the presiding deity of the easterly direction is Indra. Of westerly direction is Lord Varuna. Of northern direction is Soma, the moon devata. So whenever we are facing south, whom we are going to be seeing? We are going to be seeing Yamadharma Raja. And Yama represents what? The one who controls everything, including the population. So Yamaha means the controller and the one who destroys everything at the appropriate time. He is called Antakaha, the one who puts an end to everything. In short, Yama means mortality. Death means finitude. Bhaya, lack. Because a finite person is always a wanting person. And as long as one lacks things in life, there is always discontentment. Whenever mortality comes, fear, lack, desire, dissatisfaction are all inevitable. And all these put together, we call it samsara. So Yama means samsara. And so we are all afraid of facing south. In traditional houses also, they never allow you to do anything facing south. Even if you want to take a medicine, they will say it is south, don't face that direction. If you have to do namaskaram, they will say, don't do namaskaram facing the south. The entire humanity is afraid of the southern direction because they are all under the grip of Yama, lord of mortality. So Dakshinamurti is the only one who is not afraid of facing death, because Dakshinamurti is the one who is under the grip of, who is not under the grip of Yama, who is not limited by time, and who has conquered time. And that is why in Dakshinamurti is also called the Mrityunjayaha. When a person is afraid of Maranam, what do we normally do? Mrityunjaya Mantra Japa. That's what we do. They do Mrityunjaya Homa and all that. Anything connected to Mrityunjaya they do, because Mrityunjaya conquered mortality. And by facing the southern direction, Dakshinamurti tells us, I have conquered mortality. And so anyone who wants to conquer mortality has to come to me. That's what the Lord says. And that is why we have the story of Markandeya Muni, who had a very, very short life, 16 years. And when Yama came to take him, he went and embraced the Lord, Lord Mrityunjaya. This Markandeya Muni wrote a stotram called Chandrasekara Stotram. Chandrasekara is the one who has moon on his, as an ornament on his head. That also means Mrityunjaya again. So moon represents what? Moon represents time. Tithi, Pratama, Dvitiya, Panchami, all those tithis, they all represent time. So keeping moon as an ornament means what? Keeping moon under his control, that means keeping time under his control. So whomsoever worships Markandeya, even he is supposed to conquer death. And then what to talk about worshipping Dakshinamurti, the Adiguru himself. So Dakshinamurti is willing to help all those people who are interested in conquering death. And how does he do it? He has conquered death through Jnanam. And he will help others also to conquer death through Jnanam. So Dakshinamurti means the south-facing deity who is the conqueror of mortality. This is one meaning. And there is also a second meaning. Actually, we can split the word now differently now. Instead of Dakshina and Murtihi, we split it as Dakshina and Amurtihi. In this, Dakshina means an expert, a skilled person, a samarthaha. Expert in what? In everything. As Lord, he is expert in Srishti, in Stithi, Laya, in all those actions, he is expert. And in Brahma Vidya also, he is expert in communication. Communicating that subject matter which is not normally communicable, that which is indescribable, he describes. And so he is Dakshinaha Samarthaha, the one who is most able. And the word Amurtihi means the one who is really formless, formless God, Rupa Rahitaha or Nirupaha, such a person. Then how come we are giving a particular form to Dakshinamurti? If you go to temple, they have got a Dakshinamurti in some form. And that is why we used actually, when we say if he facing south, then he should have a form. That is why we use the word, even though he is really formless, we are giving a form. It means the form is only temporarily given by us for the sake of worship or meditation or focus. The formless God cannot be worshipped. There cannot be an altar to worship because worship requires an altar. Because we offer flowers, we offer naivedyam, we do pujas, so we need a murti. So since formless deity cannot have an altar, and since altarless deity cannot be worshipped, so for the sake of worship, we attribute a temporary form to that Dakshinamurti. So from the standpoint of his original nature, he is formless. Not only that, we cannot even use the word he is formless because there is no he or she. So according to the second meaning, Dakshinamurti really means Nirgunam Brahma. The Brahman without any attributes. So according to the first meaning, Dakshinamurti is Brahma Vidya Guru. Which one we should take between these two meanings? We will take both. We will start with Brahma Vidya Guru Dakshinamurti and we should end in Nirgunam Brahma Dakshinamurti. That is going to be our journey. That is from Sagunam to Nirgunam is going to be the journey when we read this entire Dakshinamurti Stotra. And it is upon this Dakshinamurti that Shankaracharya wrote 10 verses. And even though these verses are primarily meant for glorification, Shankaracharya presents the entire Vedantic teaching very ingeniously by way of glorification. So glorification is the direct purpose, and the indirect purpose is what? By way of glorification, Shankaracharya presents the entire Upanishadic Saraha. Upanishad Saraha is going to be taught. And that is why if we have studied the Upanishad thoroughly, then the Brahma Vidya Dakshinamurti Stotram will have a tremendous depth in it. Of course, we can superficially, but to get the fullest extent of Dakshinamurti Stotram, one should have gone through all the Upanishads thoroughly. That is why Swamiji has written in some introduction that ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ పిహెచ్డి టెక్స్ట్ బుక్ ఇబౌట్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం. ది ఐడియా ఈస్ దట్ శంకరాచార్య అస్యూమ్స్ దట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్రెడీ స్టడీడ్ ద ఉపనిషత్స్ అట్లీస్ట్ రీజనబుల్లీ వెల్. సో ఈవెన్ ద స్టడీ ఆఫ్ గీతా అలోన్ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ ఇన్సఫిషియంట్. ఉపనిషత్స్ ఆర్ రిక్వైర్డ్ ఫార్ సంబడీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం. దెన్ వై ఆర్ వీ డూయింగ్ దాట్? దట్స్ ద క్వశ్చన్ వీ కెన్ ఆస్క్. బికాస్ ఐ ఫీల్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ డన్ తత్వబోధ అండ్ అట్లీస్ట్ ది సెంట్రల్ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ తైత్రీయ ఉపనిషత్ విచ్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ చాప్టర్ ఇన్ తైత్రీయ ఉపనిషత్ ది బ్రహ్మానంద వల్లి. ఐ థాట్ వీ కెన్ మేక్ అన్ అటెంప్ట్ టు కమ్యూనికేట్ దిస్ స్తోత్రం ఆల్సో. అండ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ కంటైన్స్ ద ఉపనిషత్ సారా, దర్ ఆర్ మెనీ కమెంటరీస్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఆల్సో, అన్లైక్ ది అదర్ స్తోత్రాస్ ఆఫ్ ఆదిశంకర వేర్ దర్ ఆర్ నో కమెంటరీస్ అట్ ఆల్. బికాస్ సెవరల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ టాక్ ఓన్లీ అబౌట్ ది సగుణ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఈశ్వర, వెరాస్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం టేక్స్ అస్ టు ద డెప్త్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత. ఇట్ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రకరణ గ్రంథాస్. ఇఫ్ యు రిమెంబర్ ద వర్డ్ ప్రకరణ గ్రంథ వెన్ ఐ టాట్ తత్వబోధ, సో దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ అ స్తోత్ర గ్రంథ. ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ జస్ట్ అ స్తోత్ర గ్రంథ, ఇట్ ఈస్ మోర్ ఏ ప్రకరణ గ్రంథ. సో ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ క్లాసిఫైయింగ్ అంటే స్తోత్ర గ్రంథాస్, ఇట్ ఈస్ క్లాసిఫైడ్ అంటే ప్రకరణ గ్రంథాస్ యాజ్ అ వేదాంతిక్ టెక్స్ట్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ గణేష పంచరత్నం, కృష్ణాష్టకం, మీనాక్షి పంచరత్నం, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ స్తోత్రాస్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ వేదాంతిక్ టెక్స్ట్. సో దర్ ఆర్ సెవరల్ కమెంటరీస్ ఫర్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం అండ్ వన్ ఆచార్య హ్యాస్ రిటన్ ఏ డైరెక్ట్ కమెంటరీ కాల్డ్ తత్వసుధ అండ్ హీఈస్ కాల్డ్ స్వయం ప్రకాశ యతీంద్ర. సో హీఈస్ ది ఆచార్య హూ రోట్ ఏ డీటెయిల్డ్ కమెంటరీ కాల్డ్ సత్వసుధ ఫార్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం. అండ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది డైరెక్ట్ డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆదిశంకరాచార్య ది సురేశ్వరాచార్య, ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఆచార్య ఆఫ్ శృంగేరి శారదాపీఠం, ది ఫస్ట్ ఆచార్య. సో హీ హాస్ రిటన్ ఏ కమెంటరీ ఇన్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అబౌట్ 144 వర్సెస్ అపాన్ ఆల్ దీస్ 10 వర్సెస్. సో హీ రోట్ 144 వర్సెస్ టు కమెంట్ అపాన్ ద 10 వర్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ఆదిశంకరాచార్య. వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ హౌ డీప్ దిస్ షుడ్ బి. అండ్ సురేశ్వరాచార్య's కమెంటరీ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మానసోల్లాస వార్తికం. అండ్ దాట్ కమెంటరీ ఇట్స్ సెల్ఫ్ బీయింగ్ సో డీప్, అనదర్ కమెంటేటర్ రోడ్ ఆన్ మానసోల్లాస వార్తికం ఆల్సో రామతీర్థ, హీ రోట్ అ టీకా ఆన్ దిస్ థింగ్ ఆల్సో. సో ఐఎమ్ గివింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ బికాస్ ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ స్తోత్రం, సో మచ్ ఇస్ ప్యాక్డ్ ఇన్సైడ్ దిస్ ఇన్ వేదాంత. దట్ ఈస్ వై వీ హ్యావ్ టేకన్ దిస్ అప్ యాజ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ వేదాంత లెక్చర్స్. అండ్ సో కన్వీనియంట్లీ దర్ ఇస్ అ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ సమ్ వర్సెస్ ఫ్రమ్ సురేశ్వరాచార్య's వాత్తికం అండ్ దే ఆర్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ యాజ్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ గీతా, వెన్ వీ డిడ్ గీతా వీ డిడ్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకం. ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దర్ ఇస్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకం అండ్ తత్వబోధ ఆల్సో వీ హెడ్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకం. అండ్ ఫర్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్రం ఆల్సో దర్ ఆర్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్ టేకెన్ ఫ్రమ్ సురేశ్వరాచార్య's వాత్తిక. సో దర్ ఆర్ సమ్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్ ఆఫ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి, జస్ట్ వీ హ్యావ్ గీతా ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్. అండ్ గీతా ధ్యాన శ్లోక వీ షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇస్ నాట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ గీతా అట్ ఆల్, దే వర్ రిటన్ బై సమ్ లేటర్ ఆచార్య మధుసూదన సరస్వతి. సిమిలర్లీ హియర్ ఆల్సో సమ్ శ్లోకాస్ ఆర్ టేకెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎల్స్వేర్ అండ్ గివెన్ యాజ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి స్తోత్ర ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్. ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ బుక్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ డిఫరెంట్ ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్ ఆర్ ఫౌండ్. హియర్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు ఫాలో దోస్ గివెన్ బై ది చిన్మయ మిషన్ బుక్ అండ్ యాక్చువల్లీ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ మే బి డిజైరస్ ఆఫ్ గెటింగ్ ఎ టెక్స్ట్ బుక్ for a cliff notes kind of a book, they can buy this Hymn to Sri Dakshinamurti of Adishankara. This is a central Chinmaya Mission publication. This can be a quick reckoner. For those people who want to go for detailed study, then they can have this book of Dakshinamurti Stotram with Manasollasam and Tattvasudham by D.S. Subramaya. This is a two volume book. And this book is published by the Sringeri Sharadapitam. And those people who are desirous of going into more details, they can have these books also. But for the sake of our quick, as a ready reckoner, this book is very handy. This is a central Chinmaya Mission book. And now, in different books, different Dhyana Shlokas are given. And this is what we are going to start here with the Dhyana Shlokas given in this book. The actual Dakshinamurti Stotram will come later, starting from the Shloka Vishwam Darpana. The actual text we will see later. Now we are going to start with the Dhyana Shlokas we will read. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Para Brahma Tattvam Yuvanam వర్షిష్టాంతే వసదృషిగణైరావృతం బ్రహ్మనిష్టైః ఆచార్యేంద్రం కరకలిత చిన్ముద్రమానందరూపం స్వాత్మా రామం ముదిత వదనం దక్షిణామూర్తిమీడే. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ ధ్యాన శ్లోకం టేకన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది మానసోల్లాస వార్తికం ఆఫ్ సురేశ్వరాచార్య. అండ్ హియర్ ది ఆచార్య ఆఫర్స్ ప్రాస్ట్రేషన్స్ టు లార్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి. దక్షిణామూర్తిం ఈడే ఇన్ ద ఫోర్త్ లైన్ దక్షిణామూర్తిం ఈడే కమ్స్. ఈడే మీన్స్ నమస్కరోమి, నమామి, నమః. సో ఐఎమ్ డూయింగ్ నమస్కారాస్ టు లార్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి. ఐ ఆఫర్ నమస్కారాస్ టు లార్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి. దే ఆర్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆల్ ది అదర్ వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ ద స్తోత్రం ఇన్ దిస్ ధ్యాన శ్లోక దే ఆర్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ దక్షిణామూర్తి. నౌ వాట్ ఇస్ ద ప్రైమరీ గ్లోరీ? మౌన వ్యాఖ్య ప్రకటిత పరబ్రహ్మతత్వం. దక్షిణామూర్తి ఈజ్ ప్రైమరీలీ ఏ బ్రహ్మ విద్యా టీచర్, ఆచార్య, టీచింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ వెరీ సిస్టమాటిక్ మేనర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ లైక్ హ్యాఫసాట్ టీచింగ్, వెరీ సిస్టమాటిక్ టీచింగ్. బ్రహ్మ విద్యా టీచింగ్ ఈస్ లైక్ బిల్డింగ్ ఏ బిల్డింగ్ బై కీపింగ్ వన్ బ్రిక్ ఓవర్ ది అదర్ అండ్ సిమెంటింగ్ ది ఎంటైర్ థింగ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ బిల్డప్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏ ఫ్లాషీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ కమింగ్ ఇన్ ద మూమెంట్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్. I sat somewhere and something immediately, some blue light or red light or yellow light came into my head. It's not something like that. It is an understanding we build up in our mind through a very systematic study. So Brahma Vidya Guru is a teacher, exactly as Lord Krishna was a teacher of Arjuna, who systematically taught step by step. And at regular intervals allowed Arjuna also to clarify his doubts and continued in that manner in the entire Bhagavad Gita. It is this process that is like many other teachings that is given here. The difference is, in all other teachings, the learning is centered on the subject. We have to understand this important difference also. In all other teachings, the learning is centered on the subject and on the object, whereas the learning, the Brahma Vidya, it is centered on the very subject. So all other teachings, the learning is centered on objects. Whereas in Dakshinamurti Stotram, the learning is, teaching is centered on the subject. And so Krishna and Dakshinamurti are primarily systematic teachers, and so given here as Prakatita Parabrahmatattvaha, the one who has given a very, very brilliant exposition, Prakatanam. Prakatanam means revelation. Exposition means what? Making the unknown known, throwing light upon a thing. An unknown. And what has Dakshinamurti, he has revealed? Not physics or any other laukika jnanam, but Parabrahma Tattvam, the ultimate reality known as Param Brahma. Param means infinite. Brahmans means Brahman, Brahman and Tattva means reality. So, and this is Parabrahma Tattvaha has been revealed by Lord Dakshinamurti. And how did he reveal this also? There is only one method, as we said earlier, vyakhya, by systematic teaching, not by touching the head like sparsa diksha. You know, you go to your guru, he will touch your head, give asirvadam. There are several ways the guru can impart the knowledge. They give by sparsa diksha, kukkuda diksha, nayana diksha. There are so many types of dikshas are given. But atmajnanam, they may, all those things may be used for teaching several, to give some siddhis and so many other powers. But ultimate knowledge, self-knowledge, cannot be taught by touching or seeing or any of those means. If that is possible, Krishna would have applied that teaching to Arjuna in a crash program. He would have just looked at him. He would have just got all the knowledge. If that is possible, that could have been done. Any program we have as a crash program, these days a lot of crash courses. And many of those courses mostly end up in crashing only. So it may help one for a few days. That may be true, but cannot survive the test of time. So Brahma Vidya is not a crash program like a flashy enlightenment. Otherwise Krishna would have given that way. So the very fact that Krishna used a systematic teaching means the teaching is the only method. Systematic learning is the only method. And so Sureshwaracharya, he says, Vyakhya, exposition. And what type of Vyakhyanam he did? That is very interesting. Mauna Vyakhya, exposition in silence. Exposition in silence. The question is, How can I teach anything through silence? Our problem is what? Through regular teaching itself, we find it difficult to understand. Then how can I learn something through silence? By silence, nothing can be communicated. Even material wisdom cannot be communicated through silence. How come the most intriguing, complicated Brahma Vidya can be taught through silence? That is our question. Even if the teacher may have some extraordinary power to communicate through silence, how can an ordinary student like me understand through silence? And even assuming that through silence communication has taken place, how do we know that communication has taken place at all or not? That's all through silence. So for that, we need another communication. Otherwise, the student might have understood something and the teacher would have communicated something else. There should be only absolute confusion. That is why they say the Buddha communicated through silence. And that is why we got four branches of Buddhism. Because silence can't be interpreted in any way. Surely because of my ignorance. The teacher may be silent because he may know and the student may not be qualified to understand the teaching. And so the teacher may be silent also. Or the teacher may be silent because it may be incommunicable. Can be given any number of meanings we can give for this. In fact, one branch of Buddhism concluded that silence means nothingness. And so ultimate reality is sunyam, sunyavadaha. And who says that? The student says, because that is what he has understood. Actually, to say that there is nothing, there must be something also. Otherwise, how can say that there is nothing? So silence can mean sunyam. Silence can mean indescribability. Silence can mean ignorance. Our devotee, our student is unqualified. All those things can be meant when you say silence. So silence can communicate many things. And so we cannot take maunam in that literal sense at all here. That is what I am trying to communicate. That we cannot take maunam as literal sense of silence here. We have to go for another meaning. Then what do we mean by maunavyakya then? Here, maunam means indirect description. It is not silence, but indirect description, because Brahman cannot be directly described. It being free from all attributes, because description of anything is possible only in terms of its gunas, in terms of its properties, attributes. A person is described as fat, lean, bald, spectacled person. All these things are all attributes. So the ultimate truth, being free from all attributes, in Sanskrit it is called Shabda Pravritta Nimittani. Shabda Pravritta Nimitta means conditions for verbal description. Our forefathers, they have studied all those things in detail. What are the conditions required for verbal description? They have arrived with several conditions. And Brahman happens to be such that it does not fulfill any one of those conditions. So actually, we don't have to go into details of all that. It is enough if you know that this much. Shabda Pravritta Nimitta Rahitam Brahma. So it does not have any condition required for verbal description at all. And that is why Yato Vacho Nivartante Aprapya Manasasaha. That's what Upanishad says. But fortunately, human beings are extraordinary. They have got an extraordinary power by which he can describe an indescribable thing also. A human being has got an extraordinary power to do that also through an indirect method, by the method of implication, which is very, very commonly used, and we understand that also. For example, at the end of the class or whatever it is, a person is getting into the car and he is about to drive, and one of the other classmates or somebody comes and asks him, where are you going? And this person says, no problem, I can drop you. The question was what? Where are you going? And the answer was, I can drop you. How did this communication take place? Even though the question is one thing, the person understood the implication of the question and answered. And for example, this happens many times. If a guest comes to your house and spends too much time, you are happy that he has come, but you have things to do for yourself also. He goes on sitting. And what do you ask him at that time? What is your next program? Means what? Please leave now. So, but it is not decent to ask him to leave. So it's the same thing. In the class also, if you repeatedly ask, if people, when the teacher is teaching, if the student keeps on looking at the watch many times, perhaps the teacher should understand that the class is boring. So these are all implications. If you say this, for example, when there are two children, if you say this child is wonderful, even though you have not said anything about the other child, that child by implication gets hurt. This is not only with children, with adults also this happens the same thing. So glorify both ways, both always. So we use the method of indirect communication through implication, and Vedanta also uses implication to communicate. In Sanskrit, it is called Lakshana Vrittihi. Vrittihi means method, and Lakshana means through implication. So a teaching which uses the method of implication. So here silence means indirect teaching of Brahma Vidya. In direct teaching, the teacher is silent about Brahman because he has not uttered and any direct word about Brahman, because Brahman is attributeless. So with respect to Brahman, he is silent. But at the same time, Brahman is taught by the indirect method of implication. And actually, one famous method used in Keno Upanishad, Anyeva tat viditadi ato aviditadati. Brahman is an exciting thing which is different from all objects of experience. This is the definition. Brahman is an exciting thing which is different from all objects of experience. Now actually we can have it like a quiz. We have to find out what is existent other than all objects. This is a quiz for us to understand. What is existent other than all objects? What is that? What is existent other than all objects of experience? There is only one thing which is other than all objects of experience and is still existent, which is nothing but the experiencer, the subject. Elsewhere, the language used is what? Neti, neti. The Upanishad says neti, neti. What remains after the negation of everything? That is Brahman. You negate everything one after the other. What remains is Brahman. And again, if you analyze, is the negator himself. If you go on negating everything, finally you will end up with only the negator, because the negator is not object for negation. So if the negator has to be neglected, then we require another negator to negate the negator. And so in the Neti Neti Vada, Anyeva Tat Vididati Ato Aviditadati method, the Upanishad does not say directly anything about Brahman, and so we can say that Upanishad is silent about Brahman. That Mauna Vyakya means this. But at the same time, Upanishad or the Acharya has conveyed what has to be conveyed. So the first method is called Lakshana Vrittihi, indirect method of communication, and the second method is called Nisheda Vrittihi, the method of negation. All these are Mauna Vyakyanam only. So Mauna Vyakyana, Nisheda Vrittya, Lakshana Vrityava Prakatitam Prakaratitam Pratipatitam Brahma Tattvam Yena Saha Dakshinamurtihi. That is how you derive it. So it's a Bahubrihi Samasa, but it's for only for English and Sanskrit grammar people. And such a Dakshinamurti, I prostrate. Then the next glory of Dakshinamurti is what? Yuvanam. Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Yuvanam means one who is youth, one who is young. The word young can be taken as literally also. It can be taken figuratively also. Both ways we can take. So Dakshinamurti is always picturized as an young teacher. So Vriddha Sishyaha Guru Yuva, we are going to see later. So physically, Dakshinamurti is presented as an young Acharya. So Yuva. Figuratively also, youthfulness stands for what? Youthfulness always stands for positive approach towards everything. Youthfulness stands for positive approach towards everything. Freedom from cynicism, freedom from pessimism, which is a general tendency which overtakes us as we grow old. This is a fact. Even though it may be a disturbing fact, we have to accept that. Generally, we talk about good old days only. Nobody talks about good present days. We always talk about good old days. The previous generation also talked about good old days only. That is, they always used to say, so in our time, values were there. Now only they are all going away. Always they say that. Now also we say the same thing. Our time's values were good. Now all values are gone. So generally, old age makes a person negative, pessimistic, cynical, critical. because maybe so many dents in life he has gone through, he always wants to reminisce on the past. So if you really watch the conversation between two elderly people in a park or in some other place, we can easily understand that. This is in general. So elderly people need not have to take any exception to this, but I'm just making a statement. So whereas if you are able to avoid cynicism, criticism, negativism, all the time, good old days and good new days, all those things, then you are youth in your mind. It is not youth physically, but youth mentally. Vedanta makes a person youthful in mind. It is always positive. It is non-critical. It is always appreciative. In any field, the older musician never has a good word about the younger musician at all. If not anything, he will say, oh, they are not singing from their heart. All these things, they make remarks. That always they say, you know, classic music, classic system is gone always. Now people are learning through CDs. They are learning through Skype, internet, all those things. The traditional teaching is gone. All those complaints we always hear. They don't want to comprehend the fact that there is the availability of all these tools today. So things can happen efficiently today also. They perhaps do not want to acknowledge, which were not available in those days. So a Gurukula had to be there. But there are other advantages also. But all the time, criticizing younger generation, that is generally the practice. That is a typical sign of aging perhaps. So Vedanta makes you positive. See the good things that will happen. So when Acharya says that Dakshinamurti is Yuva, that means that his mind is soaked with Vedantic perspective. That's what it means. This is the second meaning. And we can take actually the third meaning also. It's a philosophical meaning. Yuva means one who is free from apakshaya. Ever youthful, never aging means what? The one who is not affected by kala, kala tattvam, time. Dakshinamurti being Brahman himself, itself. We saw in Gita actually, Ajo Nityaha Shashvatoyam Puranaha. So that Shashvatam, the Shashvatatvam, Puranatvam, they are all indicated by the word Yuva, the one who is ever fresh. So like Markandeya, who is ever 16 in Purana, which means he has conquered Yamadharmaraja or mortality. Thus philosophically, Yuva means Nityaha, who is ever permanent. And such a Dakshinamurti, who is youthful physically, mentally, and spiritually, that Dakshinamurti I worship. So that's what that thing would mean. Now, Varshishtante Vasat Rishiganaihi. This is a very compound word. Varshishtante Vasat Rishiganaihi should have, actually it should be one word. There should be no gap between words here. Here the author says that Dakshinamurti is not only a great Vedantic teacher, he is surrounded also by great disciples. His students are not just ordinary students. They are all very serious, very elderly students. Rishiganaihi Avritam. Avritam means ever surrounded by, in great demand as a teacher. Rishis means those who are good thinkers. They are not ordinary students. They are all good thinkers. They surround him all the time. They are all enlightened, informed, mature person. That such a person is called a Rishi. So such Rishis surround this Yuva teacher. We are talking about actually a physical Rishi with a beard and all those things. A senior person who has done tapas for a long time. So mentally, so Rishati Janati Iti Rishihi. He is a Viveki, the person who knows the ephemerality of everything else, and the one who knows the eternity of Brahman, such a student. So one who has got the Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha in Tattva Bodha, if you remember. So one who does not look for security from the insecure, perishable world. He knows security is himself. So this enlightened, informed person is called a Rishi, Rishiganaihi. So because this Viveka is required, only then Vairagyam will be there. Then only Vedanta will become priority. If Vairagyam is not there, Vedanta will become like, you know, somebody, you know, going to a class when it rains outside. So without Viveka and Vairagyam, Vedanta will not appeal to them. Even if it does, it will be a hobby only for such people. So if Vedanta should become my only mission in life, then it requires tremendous Viveka and Vairagya. And that is indicated by the term Rishi. So, and since they are committed seekers, they have left everything else and have surrendered to Dakshinamurti without any agenda or program, and so they are antevasadrishiganaha. Antevasadri means an antevasi, a resident student in a gurukula. Antevasi means a resident student in a gurukula who lives with this teacher. Ante means samipe, and vasad means living near the teacher. So because we learn from the teacher through verbal communication, and more than verbal communication, we learn from the teacher from his very life and from his very activities. Whatever he does, we follow, we observe, and that is non-verbal communication. So verbal communication is one, and non-verbal communication is learning through association with such great people. Nowadays, lot of research is going on non-verbal communication, that is body language and all those things. And our Shastras feel that this is more and more powerful. Namely, the non-verbal communication is more and more powerful. In fact, actually, children learn from parents more through non-verbal communication than verbal communication. None of our parents sat us and taught a lot of things. We just observed what they were doing and learned from several of our observations. And in fact, in the first few years of a child's life, it is not even ready for verbal communication. And so, spiritual learning also takes place through non-verbal communication. And how do you accomplish that? Live just in presence of the Guru. To say, stay close to the Guru, no talking, etc. Just to keep on observing what the Guru does. And that is why in our tradition, the Gurukula Vasa Sampradaya was created. Gurukula Vasa Sampradaya has been always there. Such a disciple is called Antevasan Sishyaha or Antevasantaha Rishiganaha. And what is the age of these students? The Guru is said to be a youth, Yuva. But these students are Varshishtaha, very, very aged disciples. Varshi means old. Varshiyan is comparative degree, older, and Varshishtaha, oldest, superlative degree, very elderly people. So this is the general law. People generally appreciate the importance of Vedanta only in old age, generally, the last stages of life. Balastavade Krida Shaktaha, Tarunastavade Taruni Shaktaha. Vriddhastavate Chinta Saktaha. Right? At old age, that's all kinds of worries. Most of the old age is spent in babysitting only. And there is time for anything else anyway. So generally, people are after Artha, Kama or Karma. Always people are oriented towards any of these only. So and to understand the limitation of Dharma, Artha and Kama, generally, by and large, a person has to go through all these three ashramas. Brahmacharya ashrama, Grahastha ashrama, and Vanaprastha ashrama. Generally, three ashramas are required for the ripening of a person mentally, spiritually. So you cannot force interest in Vedanta to anyone. In many families, that is actually happening. Parents are interested in Vedanta, and somehow or the other, they want to trust Vedanta through the gullets of the child also. And if it is done that way, children will develop only hatred. They will not like Vedanta at all. Interest in Vedanta can never be enforced. We allow the people to live and grow and make the tools like a couple of books or cassettes here and there. They casually listen and develop an interest themselves. You can present things to them. You can introduce things to them. But interest they have to develop over a period of time through exposure and their liking. If at all it has to be forced, emphasize more on Dharma Shastras than Vedanta and all that. Vedantic interest has to grow, and generally it takes several years and even decades for a lot of people. So here the author says, Varshishtaha, in superlative, the oldest Shishyas, the mature ones, they are surrounding Lord Dakshinamurti, who is presented here as an Yuva. So Varshishtascha Ante Vasantascha. Varshishtante Vasantaha. Varshishtante Vasantaha Rishiganaha. Varshishtante Vasat Rishiganaha. Avritam. Such students, Avritam, they are. So the Dakshinamurti is surrounded, Avritam, by such disciple and Brahmanishtaihi. Brahmanishtaihi means has a special meaning here. Normally the word Brahmanishta stands for a jnani. Brahmanishtaha means a jnani or a jivan mukta. So Brahmani Nishta Nishchayena Avastanam Yasya. So that is how it is called Brahmanishtaha. So here we are talking about a disciple. We are not talking about a Brahmagyani, we are talking about disciples. So Brahmanishtahi Rishiganaihi. So the author says that the students are Brahmanishtaha, means he, the students cannot be Brahmanishtaha, because that is why they are learning. If they are already Brahmanishtas, why should they learn now? They are already Jivan Muktas. They are not Brahmanishtas yet. So the word is not translated here as Jnani. Actually, two meanings are given here. One, those who are interested in becoming Brahmanishtas, even though they are not Brahmanishtas yet, they are interested in becoming Brahmanishtas, whose obsession or agenda is only in that. That is the craving for Brahman. We told in Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, in that chapter we said, Thivra Mumukshutvam, Viveka, Vairagyam, Shamadhi Shatka Sampattim, and Mumukshutvam. So that Thivra Iccha, that I want to get liberated, that nishta, that kind of an Iccha, Thivra Iccha. Mokshomi Bhuyati Iccha. And there is a second meaning, which seems to be actually more significant also, and that is Saguna Brahmanishtaihi. When you say Brahmanishtaihi, it is not just Brahmanishtaihi, it is Saguna Brahmanishtaihi, to learn about Nirgunam Brahma. And at this time, they are all disciples. They are all established in Sagunam Brahma. They have not come to Nirgunam Brahma yet. Only after going through Dakshinamurti Stotram, they are going to, as we mentioned in the beginning itself, this is a journey from Saguna to Nirguna. So they are now established in Saguna Brahma Upasana, Saguna Brahmanishtaihi. Saguna Brahma means what? Saguna Ishwaraha. They are all great bhaktas. In the name of philosophy, they do not reject religion. They are good bhaktas. There are many Vedantins actually who try to avoid a religious life. This is another thing actually. Somehow they have got an aversion to God, religion, vibhuti, all those things. They think that they are all beyond religion. They have come to Vedanta. So they are beyond religion. That's what many people even mistakenly think. They think that being religious is something inferior even. And so they try to separate religion and Vedanta. They try to do that. And so they are interested only in the Vedantic portion. They don't want to, they think the other portion is religious. I am not interested in that. But our tradition says it is not proper. Not only with internal religion, but external symbols also. One should be unassociated with them. That is why in any ashrama, even though the pursuit is Nirgunam Brahma, when you go to Vanaprastha ashrama or any other sannyasa ashrama, the pursuit may be Nirgunam Brahma. Uniqueness of our tradition is Vedanta always goes with religion. A temple is built. All students are asked to go to the temple. Even though they are all Vedantic students, they are asked to go to the temples. They are asked to do pujas, Deeparadhanas, Naivedyam, all that. So one will be soaked in Saguna Ishwara Bhakti. Without Bhakti, Jnanam will not shine. And that Bhakti aspect is indicated by the word Brahmanishtaihi. So there are deeply religious people committed to their Ishta Devatas also, because they are all now Saguna Upasakas. They have not come to Nirguna Brahma yet. So Brahmanishtaihi. Then Acharyendram. Acharyendram means Acharyaha, one who teaches. And one who lives the teaching, he is Acharya. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. One who lives the teaching is an Acharya. There can be, I used to have a friend, Yed, who taught me driving when I came to this country. He used to tell me, Mani, do what I say, don't do what I do. He won't stop for a stop sign if he finds nobody. So he will say, do what I say, don't do what I do. He is not a good Acharya. He may be a good guru in teaching, but not an Acharya. So the one who lives the teaching and teaches also is Shrotriya Brahmanishta Guru. He is Shrotriya Brahmanishta Guru, and he is called Acharya. Achinoti ki shastrani acharete bhavayasyapi swayam acharate yasmat tasmat acharya uchyate. He compiles the shastra and he communicates. Achinoti ki shastrani. That means what? He teaches. And also what? Swayam acharate yasmat, who also lives the teaching. Whatever he teaches, he lives also. Achinoti acharate iti acharyaha. And we have got so many acharyas in the parampara actually. Narayanam, Padmabhuvam, Vasishtam, Sakti Chatutpuncha Parasarancha. All those, these entire the Guru Parampara shlokams are there. We also already talked about Sadashiva Samarambha, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmat Acharya Paryantam, all those shlokas. So among all the acharyas, What is the glory of Dakshinamurti? Dakshinamurti has a very special status. That is, he is the only Acharya who was never a disciple. All other Acharyas, they had disciples. Who is the Adi Guru? Who does not have his own Guru? That means what? He was never ignorant. In a Guru Parampara, every Guru had a Guru. And he had a Guru and he had a Guru. Whereas the Adi Guru had no Guru. That means he was never ignorant, requiring an Acharya at all. Whereas the second Guru was not born wise. He was a samsari, ignorant person, and then he learned from the first Guru and became wise. The third one became wise similarly. But Dakshinamurti is the only one who never became wise. He was ever a jnani. And so he is called Acharya Indraha. Not just an Acharya, Acharya Indraha, a guruless guru, the Adi Guru, the Sampradaya initiator. He is not just also a Sampradaya Guru, he is Sampradaya initiator. That is what Krishna also said in the Gita also. Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedyaha Vedanta Krit. That's what he said. Vedanta Krit means what? Sampradaya Karta. Who is the initiator of this entire tradition. So note, we have to note the word Sampradaya is very significant word in this teaching. Sampradaya means the method of communication, the method of teaching. There is a special method of communication which alone will communicate this incommunicable truth. This incommunicable truth can be communicated only through a special method of communication. It is a specially designed method called Sampradaya. So this Sampradaya initiator is Dakshinamurti. So Acharya Indram. Indraha means Sreshtaha. So here Indra does not mean Devendra. Here Indra means Sreshtaha. The word Indra at the end of another word, that suffix means what? Sreshtaha, the greatest one. So Acharya Indraha means Acharya Sreshtaha. And Karakalita Chinmudra. He is having a Chinmudra in his hand. And actually I have to take more time to discuss about the Chinmudra and all. So what we will do is we will stop up to this point in this Dhyana Shloka. We will start with the Karakalita Chinmudram, the explanation of that word in the next webinar next week. Yo Vedadau Swarak Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Now.